Hey guys, welcome back to the Founders Journal. We're so happy to be back. Happy August. We can't believe it's already August. The month of July flew by. Colin and I decided to take most of the month off just to kind of reset, figure out the vision for the Founders Journal and where we wanted it to go for the school year. So with that being said, we'll be producing an episode every other week, changing from previously we had it produced every week. So we will be doing every other week on Mondays. We'll be launching an episode. This way we can keep the quality of the episodes up and the quantity. That being said, if you or anyone you know has a small business and you would want to share their story or your own story, definitely reach out to us. We are so open and willing to work with so many various companies to share their stories, however that may look. Hey, Annika, we're so excited to have you on the Founders Journal.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I'm so excited to learn about all the things with coffee. So if you want to take us away into your story, go for it.
Yeah, so it's a baby company. Literally came out of my quarantine creativity. It's always like been a dream of mine, and I've always loved coffee, but I feel like it wasn't until the past couple months of like sitting at home where I was like, okay, I need to do something. And so my dream has always been like having a coffee shop, yoga center, yoga studio, ministry center. So it's offering like different bar classes and yoga sculpt and all the things and the unique coffee drinks, and then having fundraisers and sermons and vacation Bible study camps, all that kind of thing. So then when it came around to this quarantine, I was looking for a coffee bar for my grad party, because we were doing like kind of a brunch themed, and I could not find one that was affordable. And so it just kind of happened in passing in conversation, and my boyfriend was like, well, you could do it. and it was just kind of like, I guess I could do it. I've worked at a cafe for a while and I know how to make the coffee drinks. I love making the coffee drinks and know a lot about it. And I remember my friends laughed because I texted them and I was like, should I start a coffee business? And that was at like 5 o'clock. And then by 10 o'clock that night, I was like, okay, I ordered everything to start a coffee business. And the next two weeks were like Christmas. Things just kept showing up at my door, and then it kind of just all came together, and we had our first event 2 weeks later, and the Lord has just continually provided because people like it and they're booking me. Yeah. And so we will have done like 20 events by the time I leave for Nashville in 3 weeks. And then it'll come down to Nashville too. Yeah.
Dang. So, okay, give me like the rundown of your first event. Like, how did it go? Like, did they contact you? Did you contact them? How did it go with setting up? And then like your first sale, like first customer,
yes,
gave you like a transaction.
So exciting.
Give us the rundown.
So it was at Style Hunt in Excelsior, which is the super small boutique. And it was still during everything was locked down. And so things were supposed to be open when we planned it. And then the quarantine or lockdown, whatever you want to call it, was extended another 2 weeks. And so we were like, okay, like we can work with this. And people were excited about it and wanted a reason to get out of the house. And so we just kind of did like curbside pickup, social distance, whatever, abided by the rules. And then they could text in their order and then Venmo for their total. And so we've been doing Venmo most of the summer, which has been great. And obviously you'll find people that don't have Venmo or whatever, and we'll do cash for that. But a lot of people have been super psyched that they can just like pay from their phone. It's not touching as many things in the age of contactless. And so, yeah, I feel like that first transaction wasn't like a handing over the cash, but it was like a little buzz on my Apple Watch being so-and-so Venmo'd you. And that was definitely like so exciting. And I learned so much from that first event, obviously, and I'm continuing to learn, but we did that first event and then I was like, okay, I need this, this, and this. And it was Christmas all over again as new materials are coming. But yeah, it has been...
I love getting stuff in the mail.
Yeah, literally, especially just, like, being home so often, too. I'm, like, checking the mail every hour.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, well, that is so cool. I know I, like, love coffee. I work at a coffee shop on campus. Okay. So if I could set up a mobile coffee truck, like cart, yes, I would. Yes. Because it's like so fun.
Well, we joke. So I'm going to college this fall and we are talking about, I don't know if we're really talking about it. I don't know if it's a joke or not. It depends on my roommate. But just like setting it up in our dorm room and then just being like the coffee girls of the hall. So we'll see.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
As soon as she thinks about it, she's like laughed about it. But I'm like, I'm actually serious.
You're like, I'm going to open the door and set the cart up in the doorway.
Yes, which I know. I know
that's
like
amazing.
Like Mini Oats started that way, you know?
Yes. Like, out of their apartment. Yes, and I know. I was... Yeah, I mean, and especially, like, during this time, like, being creative, because you never know what's going to happen, so it's just, like, taking advantage of every situation, for sure.
Yes, yes, I feel like, especially, obviously, there was so much bad that came out of COVID-19, and just, like, having to sit at home for so long, but there's also a good amount of blessings that came out of it, too. Like, I just think, I don't think Prickly Pear Coffee would have started, and maybe down the road, maybe when I graduated or whatever, but I feel like I have gotten such a good head start and like learning advantage from it starting when it did.
Yeah, this is exactly when I started my business. I just thought of that.
Yes,
and that's so exciting to think about, because it's like how cool that you get to go to all these events and like market, and then people get to follow you.
Yes.
And so it's like by the end of the summer, you're already gonna have such a good following.
Well, I'm excited.
And it's
for
like
your
cool
event
to have like a dual market.
Yes.
Oh,
a dual
yes
market.
Okay, so if you guys don't know, I'm gonna just like plug this here, because I hopefully will have posted it by this time, but August 11th, Annika and I and Keaton, who is with G-Wagon Events, we are doing a pop-up from 3 to 8 p.m., and Annika's going to be there selling coffee, which I'm so excited about. There's usually, like, 300 girls,
yeah,
like, I'm
awesome.
Thinking. It's, like, nuts town. So, I'm so excited to, like, be able to have you there.
Well, I'm excited to stock up on my jewelry before I go to college.
Yeah. I'm like, can we do even trades?
Yeah, literally. I'm here for it. I love
it. Okay, amazing. Okay, so a few questions.
Yeah.
I'll just ask you the first one. Where did the name Prickly Pear come from?
Yeah, so Prickly Pear is what my parents used to call me in middle school in my, like, I don't want to be touched kind of days, like my little sassy, grumpy days. So she would, like, come in for a hug, and I'd be like, no, like, ew, you know? And they'd be like, oh, you're a Prickly Pear today. And so Prickly Pear is me. And then I guess that has, like, been, that's always been the name. I found a, like, Google Doc from 2013, and it was, like, Prickly Pear Coffee Yoga Studio Ministry Center. Like, that has just always been the name, and I don't know why I decided on that, but in short, Prickly Pear is me.
That's amazing. I was like, it's such a cute name, so I was like, there's got to be a story behind it, because like, I don't think people just think of that, you know? I love when there's, like, the story behind the name, because it just has, like, that much more meaning.
Yeah, and I was just, like, something cute that I could do the colors with, like, the pear green and the lavender, and, like, I more just liked how it would look on logos and that kind of thing, and then it just came to fruition.
Oh, that's amazing. So, you kind of mentioned the dorm events, which is so fun. So, have you done any events out of your house, or, like, what are your visions for the events in the future?
Yeah.
Before, hopefully, one day you're able to open your coffee shop.
Yeah, I will. Speak it into existence. I will be opening my coffee shop. yes, we haven't done any out of my house, but we've done a lot of grad parties this summer. So, I guess at, like, other people's houses. And those are just, like, hourly kind of events, so people pay hourly and then unlimited coffee drinks. And then in Nashville, I think it'll, for a first while, it'll be more, like, pop-ups with local boutiques. And that's what we were doing here for a while. And then I was in this, like, Moms and Dads of Seniors, like, Facebook group, because I just graduated this year. And I posted something, like, a little blurb, like, oh, are you still planning your grad party? Like, the Prickly Pear Coffee Bar would be great at your grad party. And I was sitting in my backyard, and I just remember, like, my mom was sitting on the other side of the deck, and I was like, oh my gosh, someone just emailed me and wants to book. And 2 minutes later, oh my gosh, another one. And, like, from that Facebook thing, we had gotten, like, 7 bookings, and then there would be another 2 that would come from each of the events, like, after having been there. So we started with the like pop-up shops and collabs and then eventually like didn't have time for that. And so I guess my vision for Nashville is to start that way and then hopefully there'll be some events. And it's just hard, obviously, in the age of COVID, what do events look like and how does that kind of work? But we have some fun local boutiques in Nashville that I'm really excited about being at. And so we just kind of call those like a sip and shop. So I just set up on their porch or whatever, and you can come and get your coffee and you can come and shop. And it's just kind of another little thing to like draw people through the door. Which I think is especially exciting in times right now and stores that might not have as much traffic after reopening. Yeah. So just kind of being like, oh, for sure, we are open.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, give me like your first event. You had like your customers coming in and Venmo and all the things. So what did you like learn after the first event, since like you are such a new company, like it's so fresh in your mind? Like, what are some of the things that like after your first event you're like, oh shoot, for the next one I want to do this, you know?
A lot of just like the sanitary things, just like, okay, this needs to be more organized, and like I know how it needs to be kept clean. And so what do I need to get to successfully do that? And then we also, so the way it like works is we have someone at a high top table who is taking your order, doing the checkout, all that kind of thing. And then the coffee bar where I kind of have my little magic space. And so at that first event, we didn't have the high top table. So she was doing orders and collecting the money and everything just on the other side of my little 4-foot table. So the biggest thing was the space, just like where is someone going to take orders? Where are we going to keep things sanitary? So that was definitely the biggest thing. And then from there, it was kind of that marketplace ministry mission statement that I have. And so it was, how am I going to hammer home this mission that I have and this vision that I have, that I want every single person that walks up to the coffee bar to just feel this love and wonder like, oh, what's so different about this, and have it start conversations, things like that. And so I often say that I'm going to laugh about the times that I like was putting Bible verse stickers on cups for Party City and calling it a brand. And eventually it'll be real cups and all the things once I can, get to that point. But the Bible verse stickers are important because I'm just, my biggest thing has like the little ways, the little tangible ways that you can see God in this business, because it all is thanks to him and all the successes are thanks to him. But how can I like be another facet for the gospel for someone who may know him and it's just a reminder, or someone who may not, and it's like just a little subtle way. You order your coffee and the next thing you know, you're being told that you're loved by your cup, you know?
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, so just these like little reminders, I guess.
That's cool. I love that. I know, like every business has such different like things they have to learn about like after their first event. Yeah. Like my first event, I was like, I was so underprepared. Like I was like, what was I thinking? Like I was selling to a group of like 250 sorority girls, and I came with like only like 100 jewelry pieces, and you're just kind of, like saying it out loud, you're like, what? Yeah, like literally, yeah. What was I thinking, you know?
I mean, it's a blessing though, to have, I'd rather be underprepared and, you know, be successful, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I sold out, but I also like wasn't prepared. So like, yeah, that's just how it was.
Yeah.
So with an event like mine coming up with like 300 girls, have you done an event that big, or like how are you prepping for the event?
Yeah.
Run us through it.
So definitely. So a lot of the grad parties have been around that size. And so because I'm mobile and have this like mini espresso machine, it definitely takes me a little bit longer. Like if we start to get a backup of cups, like it's going to be a little bit. So I literally have a sign on the table that's like, because we're mobile, like our espresso machine is small, like please give us grace, give us patience. And so the biggest prep thing is like making the menus. And so since it's a night event, I might do like more of a limited menu and offer some like desserts and lemonades and that kind of thing. Haven't decided yet. But so that's a lot of the prep. And then obviously going and getting all the milks. The fridge in my shed is just like, you would think that I owned a cow. It is stocked with every kind of milk under the sun. And my parents will be like, we're having people over. Like, can you move the milks? And I'm like, no, I have an event this weekend. I need the milks. Like, the milks are a big thing around here.
Yeah.
And so that is definitely one of the bigger ones. And then I do inventory and making sure that I have the right amount of cups, the right amount of Bible verse stickers for the cups, you know, making a brand over here.
Yeah.
All the things. So, and then obviously a big one, too, is just, like, promoting on social media. And that's been one of the harder things that I found is that the Instagram, I put a lot of work into the Instagram, but it doesn't have as many, like, followers as I maybe thought we would by now or wanted to have by now. The people that do follow are really interactive. Like, I can see that comparatively, like, the amount of people that are watching our stories to the amount of followers we have is pretty good. But I guess that was something that I just was like, oh, people are going to love this. They're going to want to follow along. And as much support as there's been and the amount of people that do love it, they just are stingy with their follows, which I get it. I'm the same way. But that's been my biggest thing is like, okay, what am I going to do on here that's going to make them want to follow? Because that's how you are getting the brand recognition and promoting these events that they might be interested in. Yeah, and I think the target market has also been not what I super imagined either. Like when you can see the stats on Instagram too of who's looking, and most of it has been like 18 to 30 area, which I thought it would just be like, for a while I thought it would just be like my friends who were just coming to buy my coffee, you know? And so I think it's a really cool thing actually that it's gone beyond, because I know a couple people in their 20s and I have a lot of good friends that are in their 20s, but not the amount of people that are checking out my Instagram. And so that's kind of a fun thing when it's like, oh, someone I don't know is liking my posts and, you know. Yeah.
That's so fun. I know. You would think that we would be just, like, rock stars at, like, marketing on social media because, like, that's what we grew up with.
Yeah.
But, like, time and time again, people are coming on and they're like, it's the hardest thing. Like, it, for me, was so hard because I could not be consistent. Like, I was, like, forgetting to post.
Right.
So I ended up hiring this girl in my sorority who's a marketing major, and I was like, Kelly, please. I was like, just post on the gram every day, and she like loves it, so it works out great. So I guess like if you get to a point where you can do that, like maybe look into it, because it's like was way less stress, you know?
Was that helpful?
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, for sure. And now I like we've grown into like having her do my newsletters and everything now. So just like the busy work things I don't have time for, like for you, like you have to prep all the events and all that. Yeah. And like, that's what I have to do. So it's like, we're in like the same kind of event planning stuff prep wise,
which I love. Like I love the logistics of the events and all that thing. And I genuinely love like sitting down and like making a post, just like the graphics of it and all that kind of fun stuff. But it'll be like either I'm posting on the Instagram story too much and then I feel like I'm annoying people, or I like haven't posted in a while and they're like, oh, do you still exist? Like there's this weird balance. And so I feel like that's definitely something I'm still learning.
Mm-hmm. I've gone with the we're going to just spam people method.
Yeah.
Like every day on my story I'm posting, but then like I see the turnouts at the events and I'm like, this is worth it.
Yeah.
You know, like, if people want to unfollow my account, that's totally okay. Like, I understand because I literally spam it. But also, it's like people gain that connection then with you.
Yeah.
And that relation. So I feel like that's so important, too.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and just even, like, responding to all the comments and that kind of thing. Because I feel like with a lot of businesses, you're never going to get a comment back on their posts and stuff. Like, that's something the Glow Lounge always does. She's really, really good about, like, responding to every single comment. Even if it's just, like, a heart eye emoji on their recent post. Like, she'll just be like, thanks, girl. Like, we love it, too, you know? And so I feel like that interaction is super cool. Because then it's like, oh, the Prickly Pear Coffee, like, noticed me, too, you know? And especially with that mission statement of making people feel loved. It's like, I want them to feel seen and noticed. And I appreciate every comment that they're going to give. Like, even just feedback in person kind of comments. All the things.
Feedback is huge.
Good
for sure. So you're talking about booking all these grad parties, which is so stinking cool. I'm like, why didn't I have a mobile coffee like set up at my grad party? So do they have to
go ahead
okay so do they have to like pay like a booth fee and then like per cup, or is it like the people coming to the grad party pay for their cups, or how does that work?
So there's a couple options. You could have it so that, so it would be called like the pop-up shop, and you could have it where your guests come and pay, but a lot of people just do it in the catering sense where they're gonna have the coffee bar, and then like last weekend we did one where they had the coffee bar and then they had quiche and a donut pegboard and kind of that same like brunch idea. And so they just pay by the hour. And so it's like $300 for 3 hours of unlimited coffee drinks. And I guess it would be like as many as I could make in 3 hours. But that hasn't honestly been a problem of like someone not being served. Especially with the iced drinks lately, like most people only order iced drinks, obviously, in the summer. And so those go a lot faster because by the time you're frothing the milk and all that jazz. So, yeah, so they're just paying that straight up front $300. And then people can just come up to the booth and order, and they're not paying anything. And, yeah, that's about it. And so that money is genuinely, like, I mean, I believe we're at a good price point. I'm sure as I continue to get more experience and continue to get more bookings, like, maybe next summer it'll go up, like, $100. But I wouldn't really want to go anywhere above that, just because I feel like it covers, I have an employee that works for me at every event, and so it covers, like, that hourly wage, and then it covers all the milks, and then it covers my travel time and all these things, and so I want to be fair in what I'm charging, and I want to remain affordable, because I haven't found anything else like that on the market either, and so I wouldn't imagine that I would go above $400 for 3 hours, just because doing the math and the breakdowns, like, I'm a very practical person, and I'm like, nobody's going to want to pay this, this, and this, especially if they break it down themselves and find out that this is this cost and so on. And so, yeah, affordability was huge for me. And I think that was also just part of kind of part of the mission statement, too, is like, I want to remain affordable so that this person can afford it to have me at their event and all these different things. So, like, we're doing this wedding, and they had a lower budget, and half the family loves to drink, and the other half is teetotalers. And so they're like, the coffee bar is perfect, you know? So there's a bunch of scenarios that they're like, oh my gosh, a coffee bar, like, that's great.
Yeah, I know. Coffee bars are so ideal, especially since it's traveling.
Yeah.
So if people, like, love your coffee, they can just, like, scout you out and like hopefully they like do, because like I hope your friends are like, oh, like I want Annika's coffee and I want like jewelry, and so they'll like venture on down to probably like Minnesota. So yeah, it'll be so fun, and that's so cool.
And I've made like such an effort to have like unique coffee drinks too, like we have a Samoa latte, a s'mores latte, like these are all things that you're not gonna find at like other coffee shops, so they're really specific. And then, of course, we have just, like, a mocha and a latte and all these things. But I go out of my way to have, like, fun and different seasonal specials. Like, right now, it's the lavender lemonade and the raspberry ginger limeade. So just creating that uniqueness, too, that you're going to want to come and scout me out just for those, like, drinks that you can't find anywhere else.
So you mentioned that at an event, you have, like, your high top table and then your low top where you're, like, making the drinks. And you said you have someone taking the order, which I assume would be your employee. So if you want to walk through the process of, like, how you got your employee, how you, like, went through that process with them of who you wanted to work
with. Yeah, so definitely not anything, like, super official. It has literally been, like, my couple of my best friends and then, like, my boyfriend. And there definitely has been, like... There was one girl who reached out, and then it just, like, wasn't a super good fit. Like, she came to an event, and it just, like, wasn't the best fit. So I definitely am learning, like, what type of person I need and all that kind of jazz, but it hasn't been anything super official. There was no hiring process. It's just been my friends. And then I think when I move to Nashville, it'll be my roommate, but she won't always be able to do it. So maybe then I would reach out and be like, hey, who's interested, and ask just some basic questions, like, do you know anything about coffee? Do you, which it wouldn't really, it doesn't really matter if they do or not, because it would just be like the orders and stuff, but you'd have to understand that you're, there's different types of milks and stuff like that. Yeah. So definitely not anything super special, but, it definitely has been good too, just for me to like have these people that I can rely on. And then also kind of balancing like, the leadership part of it, but also it's my friends, you know? And so they'll give me really honest feedback, mm-hmm. which is great. And then I can train them in, but also it's different because I know them super well. And so just kind of balancing that like friendship and work mm-hmm. relationship at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. I know, like, when you say the leadership yeah. aspect, like, it's hard, like, especially when it's someone like you're like family with or your friends, like, especially under a lot of stress, like, how you deal with it and give them tasks. And like, I don't know, like, I feel like if it was my sisters working for me, I'd be like, I feel like my yes. tone might be a little different because it's like,
which
family, but like, if it's
right.
a friend,
which my brother and I had that even like last weekend, and I definitely could have spoken uh-huh. nicer, but at the same time, like, if it wasn't me that was his quote-unquote boss, he wouldn't have questioned what I was asking him to do, you know? It's like, you don't get to just start yeah, changing the process. So if you have feedback, let me know, but nobody else would do that but a brother.
Yeah. Yeah, so true. Like, my sister would be like,
yeah, no, exactly.
So true. Okay, so you mentioned having, like, all these super fun types of drinks, like the lemonade one.
Yeah.
Like lavender lemonade.
Yeah, lavender lemonade, raspberry ginger
that
limeade.
That sounds so good. When you come, oh, my goodness, when you're at my event.
Yes, yes.
So good. But, so how did you, so did you do, like, a taste testing process once you got all your supplies in? And, like, did you, were you like, I feel like this would be good
yeah.
together? Like, did you look up recipes, or were you just, like, from scratch, I'm going
to
figure
yeah,
it out?
Yeah, so, I wanted to not use, so Cafe 318, which is where I worked and like learned all the coffee stuff from, I didn't want to use any of theirs because they have super unique drinks too. Like, the different employees make them and then they're named after them. And mm-hmm. so I didn't want to steal any of those. But yeah, I guess I kind of looked on Pinterest mm-hmm. for some inspiration. And then otherwise, I don't know. This has been my dream forever. And so when I was looking through old, like, Google Docs, I literally found this menu that apparently I had came up with at one point. And then when everything started coming in, I had, mm-hmm. like, 10 friends over. And we had, like, a poster board. And they would give it, like, 1 star to 5 stars and kind of evaluate it. And I honestly haven't tried most of my drinks just because I'm, like, in the business mm-hmm. mindset where I'm, like, I don't want to waste inventory on myself, like, I don't see it as wasting it when it's with my friends because mm-hmm. I'll get feedback and stuff. But I don't know. I'm weird about trying my own drinks because I want other people to try them.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I agree with that. So when you were saying how you're super busy, obviously, at like grad parties yeah. and all the events. So do you only have one espresso machine? Like, does it only pour one
shot?
So
the espresso machine is a grinder and then the espresso and then a frother. So it's mini, but it's one machine and it has all in one. And it's a great machine. The only problem is that, so you can do the grinds and froth at the same time, or you could do the grinds and whatever. Like, the grinder is separate, but you can't make espresso and froth at the same time. So that's where we start to get backed up, is when I want to froth the drink and making the next one, etc. Yeah, so I think the one machine is great just because it all fits in my car and it keeps us mobile. And yeah, we might be a little slow, but people have been really gracious and like understanding of that. I think if I were to get two machines, it would be in separate sets. So I would have a set in Nashville and then a set in Minneapolis, so that like when someone wanted to book me in Minneapolis on a weekend in November, I could just fly home, versus right now I would be looking at like driving everything back, which isn't worth it.
Right. Yeah, very true. I'm like trying to picture you storing all this stuff in your dorm room.
I know. Yeah, so I'm in a dorm and I think either I have to figure that out. It's either going to go in like a storage unit down there. But that's really hard because I do obviously like extensive cleaning after an event. Like, everything gets so deep cleaned. And so if it's in a storage unit, then I can't really do that. And that doesn't work for me. So I don't know, maybe like under my bed, or if my roommate is serious about.
I know, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I don't know. If you have any ideas.
Yeah, I know. My sweet roommates, I mean, my desk looked like a war zone 24/7.
Yeah, making jewelry.
Like, there's just jewelry everywhere, like tools, like everything. And so I'm like, you could just have a low-key coffee bar desk.
I like, know. Just have a I'm just thinking like my side of the room, like I'm fine giving up my desk and my studying for my coffee bar. Yeah. I see myself like sitting at a coffee shop or something anyways, so maybe everything will just be on my desk. That's a good idea. Yeah. I like it.
So starting a new venture, people need like money and capital and all that stuff. I don't know how like big of an investment it was for you, and you don't have to you don't have to share numbers, but like how did you get money from your parents? Did you have money in savings? Like what was the risk?
So,
you know, to like start this, like, because you had to buy a
lot of stuff. I will say the number. I invested $2,200, which isn't a lot to start a business, but as an 18-year-old, it was a lot of paychecks. So that was just, I like work a couple different jobs. So I work at the cafe, like I mentioned, and then I'm a spray tech at the Glow Lounge. And then I nannied too. So I definitely had a good amount of savings and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it came from savings, and then, I'll have made it all back by the time I leave for Nashville. So we're almost there, which is amazing. Yeah.
That's so exciting. Yay. I hope my event,
I'm excited. I'm excited for your event for sure.
So were you like scared to like invest in that? Or were you like pretty confident that you were like, I can make this
back? I am such a money saver. Like I don't love spending money and whatever. So it definitely was like my mom was sitting with me being like, it's okay. Like it's going to come back. You know, money is money. That's the thing too, is like money will always come back, especially with how hard I work. Like I'll always make that money back, even if it wasn't through the coffee bar. And so just kind of, but I had a belief in it too. And I had people cheering me on. And so it definitely was scary to spend the money. But I was like, well, this could be a good precursor. Like that's a good point. So we're just going to try it.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's just so interesting hearing how everyone gets their money for their ideas. So coffee, do you roast the coffee beans or did you source them and how did that look?
Yeah. So I sourced them from a place called Java Bean in Brooklyn, and they import them from Italy. I have a couple nonprofits that I've worked with in the past, and they have like Hope International, they do microfinancing. So they'll give like micro loans to people in third world countries to start their own business and like get on their feet. So it's kind of the idea of like you catch a man a fish and he'll eat for a night, but you teach him how to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. So that's kind of their like philosophy. But with that being said, one of the girls who lives in Uganda, like roasts all of her own coffee beans. And so I definitely want to be able to branch out to support that kind of thing. I'm just not big enough. Like I don't use enough coffee yet for how much she would ship over, you know? So eventually I definitely want to do, not that mine's not ethical right now. And it's really, really good espresso. I really love it. It's a good roast. But I want to be able to support other small businesses and other, charities, that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. That's sweet. So did you do like taste testing for the beans too, or were you just like, I know I want to go with the company I chose?
Yeah, I just kind of read about them, read the reviews, because since they're out of Brooklyn, you just go all in and you buy the bags of espresso and they smell so good. My like basement storage room is like the smells heaven. It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's perfect.
So good. But yeah, so we sell the coffee, and then we just came out with these like hand-painted journals that have Bible verses on them. Oh, so kind of going back to that topic of marketplace, marketplace ministry, just incorporating it. We got these new t-shirts that are like our little uniforms that say like running on coffee and Jesus.
That's so
and
cute.
Then, yeah. And then have you heard of For the Girl?
Yes.
They're like a college. Okay, yeah. So they just came out with prayer pads. Have you seen those?
Yes.
So they just came out with these prayer pads, and it just like structures your quiet time. And so it'll be like, you showed up in this way, or I messed up in this way, or this is how I need you to show up. So we're going to start selling those. I don't know if that's advertisable yet, but your listeners can be the first to hear.
Right? I know the inside scoop. Talking about inside scoop, do you have any new drinks coming out that you can give us a little sneak peek into?
Yes. So we're doing a snickerdoodle latte. These are our two fall specials. So I decided we're going to do like two different seasonal drinks every season. Mm-hmm. So the snickerdoodle latte, and then it's like a honey London fog tea latte, something like that. So it's like not espresso. Which I totally envision those on like a fall Nashville farmer's market day.
Yeah.
Like I'm just so excited for that. Nashville is amazing for fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm excited for those drinks.
Oh my goodness, maybe I'll come out and hang with you. I'm like, I've never been to Nashville.
Yes, we can do a pop-up in Nashville.
Yes.
Girl, I'm so serious. Pop-up in Nashville. That would be so fun. Let's go.
That would be so fun. Yeah. So are you going to be in a farmer's market in Nashville?
Yeah, so we're working on it. They are holding off on it for the summer and then hope to do it in the fall just with everything COVID-wise. So there's the 12 South Farmer's Market and the Vanderbilt Farmer's Market. And I kind of learned here that the farmer's market wasn't worth my time. Mm-hmm. But so I did the Wayzata Farmer's Market and like all of downtown Wayzata is under construction. So I honestly just think people didn't really know that it was happening.
Right.
So I definitely want to try it in Nashville and just like see what the crowd is like if it's worth my time. I'm a very say yes type of person and then have to like step back and reevaluate okay, I actually lost money from doing that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Well, if you need another farmer's market for next summer, if you're back in Minnesota, Prior Lake, it's always popping. Yeah. But I mean, if Wayzata is back and running, yeah, Prior Lake is awesome. And they don't really have any coffee trucks or anything down there, so
could be
your place.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. I love it.
To wrap us up here. What's something you wish you would have known when you started your business? I know it's still new and like you're still learning a ton.
Yeah.
But for like someone like that's just started a venture, like this is really motivating to them. Like, what's something you wish you would have known?
Yeah. Yeah. So two of my biggest things. Bob Goff is one of my favorite people ever. If you know Bob Goff, and he, right? He's known as just like the balloon guy and like super cheery, such a dreamer.
So
I'm reading his dream book. Yes, Dream Big. I think that's what it's called. Book right now. It just came out, and that has like been one of my biggest things. Where we serve a God who does big miracles, so we need to be praying for big prayers of miracles. And so we serve a big God, and so we get to have big dreams. And so I think that was my biggest thing, was like, yeah, this is going to be the precursor to a worldwide company that's going to be a coffee shop, yoga studio, ministry center. And it's going to feel local and homey, but it's going to be in every country, and we're going to reach people for the gospel through this facet, you know? And so I'm a big, like, speak it into existence type of person, and that was my biggest thing, was you're allowed to dream big. So that was huge for me. And then the other one, I guess this is like so cliche, but just like not caring what other people think. And it's definitely cliche, but the haters tend to speak real nice and loud, and just being confident in who you are. And that's a huge thing that I'm like grateful that the Lord is at the center of my business, is that I'm rooted in that, and I'm rooted in that truth, and whatever anybody else has to say isn't gonna matter. And so allowing yourself to step into the support and the love, and just like tuning out the haters and honestly praying for them, because it normally has nothing to do with you. It really doesn't. It normally stems from another place.
So true. Oh my gosh. Say it louder for the people in the back. Let's go. That's awesome. That's sweet. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I know we missed Colin being here, but it's fun to have some girl chat. So thank you guys for listening to Annika's episode on the
Prickly. And we'll see you August 11th. For our collab pop-up.
Yes, August 11th, 3 to 8 p.m.
Thanks, Sydney.